Amen. Amen. Wasn't that a beautiful exhortation? I loved it. And what I loved about it is that we can exhort when we have an experience with God. We can exhort when God has taken us through things and helped us through things. You can tell the power of the exhortation. And I just love that what God is doing in David's life. I love how he's walking it out and pushing and pressing. And this is a pushing and pressing way. Amen. So I just thank God this morning. Let's bow our heads before we dismiss our children. Lord, we just thank you. God, you are so very good. God, here's a whole other week that you've kept us, God, that you brought us back together, that you've had your eye on us, your hand on us, your mercy, your grace, and most of all, your unfailing love. And God, we are so grateful to be back corporately together, corporately to hear your word, oh God, corporately to allow seeds to be put into our hearts, to allow seeds already in our hearts to be watered, God, so that we can grow. God, we are thankful for your word, for without your word, we cannot live. And without your word, we have no victory. So this morning, we are thankful for your word. And God, we come with thanksgiving and a listening ear, God, and an open heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to dismiss our children? They'll be staying here? Okay. So the children will be staying here today. Amen. Oh, because of the weather. Okay. So the children will be staying here. Bless you. Amen. Thank you, God. But they're going out. Doesn't mean they're staying in the sanctuary. Yeah, they are. They're not doing the field trip. Okay. So they're welcome to go to their class. Yeah, okay. All right. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How about you? Every time I get a chance to be in the house of the Lord, I'm excited, you guys, because I know that it's because of God that I'm standing here. It's because of God that I have my right mind. It's because of God that I'm still going on. It's because of God that my family is protected. No matter what I see, my family is protected. I'm telling you that. Because of God. And I know because of God. God has been really dealing with me. And this is going to be... I need some water. Kind of tastes pretty good. But... this is going to be the first part of a three-part, because I can't get it all into this one part. I was trying to last night. God said, what you trying to do? Just slow down. This is a three-part of what God is dealing with me about us and our identity in Christ, and knowing who we are and being glad about who we are and being able to walk in authority and to walk in power and to walk in joy. The last one is really something that really affects me a lot, because I feel that even in my life, that the scripture that says the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that it should be exhibited. You know what I'm saying? You guys understand what I'm saying? That it should be manifested in our life, that the joy of God is within us. And a lot of people get really confused, or they get a little defensive when I say that, because they're like, you want me smiling all the time? You want me laughing all the time? I just want to see the joy of the Lord. God wants to see the joy of the Lord, and the people of the world, they need to see the joy of the Lord. Because we live in kind of a sad world, you guys. And things are happening all the time to come against our hearts and to make people feel in despair and to make them feel discouraged, right? I mean, even us as Christians, as we turn on the news and here's another shooting, or it's just like, what is going on? What is this world coming to? But there has to be something on board within us that shows the hope of the Lord, right? That shows that it has already been written what's happening. The things that are happening should not be a surprise to us that are in God, because the Word of God has already told us what's going to happen. And so we shouldn't be surprised. In fact, it should almost be a manifestation of God's Word coming to pass that is telling us that we got an urgency to be about our Father's business, because Jesus is coming back real soon. And so there, instead of that despair and hopelessness, there should be within us this tenacity to walk out the Word of God strong, come on, and to walk out the hope of glory in a way that people will know there is a hope beyond what they see, and that's in Jesus Christ, because he's coming. And I don't know about you, that doesn't make me sad. That makes me happy. Jesus is coming. He says, I go away to prepare a place for my children. That this place that we're looking at, that just looks like every day is getting worse and worse and worse, it is not our home. But God said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm excited about that. And listen, I said I'm excited about that. I want to say it again, Christians. I'm excited about that. It seems like we talk about all the bad stuff every day, and we see it to the point that our heads are bowed down. Our hearts are bowed down. Our hearts do not walk with the joy of the Lord and the expectation that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to bust those clouds, and we're going to hear a sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and those that are left, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the that is wonderful to me. Isn't that wonderful to you guys? Trouble in this world will soon be over for those that believe in God. Trouble and the tears and the cry will soon be over for those that love the Lord. You know, I see a problem sometimes why we can't get excited is because we can't imagine being out of this world. And this world, we're attached to people, to things, and we're attached. And when I say we're going away, it's like we start to think about, but what about my husband? What about my kids? What about my house? Oh my God, that good job I just got. That raise I got. Oh my God, what about? It'll all be over. And God said, eyes haven't seen nor ears heard the things that God has prepared for us. Things that we've never, I don't care what you see down here. You know, because we get, I don't know, it used to be that I love to look at houses. Do you guys ever watch those building of the houses? And they're just so fabulous. Sometimes you're just like, can it get any better than this? Like one house is beautiful, and then you watch and then there's nothing. And it's just beautiful. But God told me, eyes have not seen. I don't care what we've seen that looks so great. God said, our eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard the things that is prepared for us. So as I began to think about it, God was dealing with me. That's why it's going to be a three-part. So I will end on time, and we'll just go into the next part, okay, the next time you see me. So I just prepare myself so I don't get anxious and rush through that there is going to be another part. All right. So as I'm walking in my house, the Lord, he began to show me how we as God's people and what he's going to be showing us, that it doesn't matter. Some of us feel like if I had this, I would be better. If I had a mother that stayed home, I'd probably be so much smarter and better. If I had a father that didn't leave and had a father to emulate and that he would have played ball with me and I would be so much further ahead. If I wasn't raped, if I wasn't molested, and we have all these things that we look at and we say,
if that, this is why I am where I am. This is why I can't get ahead. This is why, if I had more money, if I just born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Sometimes we look on TV and we see this big old wedding with the princes and I can't even say who it was. Y'all probably more into it. Who just got married the other day? Say it out loud because I can't hear you. Prince Martha and Prince Harry. We look at those things. Did I say the wrong thing? You can tell I'm not into it, okay? But y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? Just have a little humor with me this morning, okay? So it was a, what was it? Megan and Prince Harry, okay? Am I saying it right? Okay. So anyway, we look and there's this princess. Just that beautiful. And there's something inside of us that can sometimes say, man, just if only he had saw me. Whoa. If only we had our eyes had crossed that day. If only he had chosen me, I would be in that gown. I would be in that castle. I would be. Now, it sounds like dramatic, but, you know, we got that drama going on in our head. We look and we see people. We look at people that seem like they're at the top of the ladder, and we're like, if only I had went to college, if only I had been smarter. I mean, if I'd have been smarter and if I had went to college, I'd be somebody. I'd be, and we go through these scenarios of not liking where we're at. We're discontented of where we're at because we're always looking and saying, if I had had that, I'd have been further on down the road. If my parents had been more educated, I would have been further on down the road. What is it that if our house, if we hadn't moved so many times as children, I would have been further on down the road. We look at our situations and we begin to think, if I hadn't married him, if I'd have married him. Have you ever had that person that you went to in high school and you see that he's out there and he is what you think, slamming. And you're thinking, why didn't go with him? Y'all act like y'all never had those things. Okay? Come on. So we start dreaming about what we would be. And what is? And so I'm walking around the house and the Holy Spirit is just talking to me about that. That how we are limited to ourselves by our circumstances. Our circumstances has put limitations on us. The things that we went through, the things that has hurt us. That's why we're stuck where we're stuck. That's what this mind tells us. And as I was walking around the house, the Lord bought up a card game, bought up cards. I'm going to have my beautiful Jessica come up, and she's going to help me with this. She's Vanna White today. No. Come on, Jessica. But somebody said, who's Vanna White? That's Vanna White is that game on show, and she turns the little flames like that. I can't even remember the game shows back that far. What was it? Wheel of Fortune. That's Vanna White. Okay? All right. I think if it's not Vanna White, we'll do it. Okay. She's a game show host. We know that. Okay? So I'm going to give these to Jessica. I hold this one back. Jessica. Okay. And then this is another hand, Jessica. Okay. So I'm not very good at cards, so you'll probably have another good time to laugh this morning, but I've talked to my brothers and my husband and got some little tips this morning. And so God began to show me that's how we think about life. We think that we have been dealt a hand, okay? And my husband's taught me a few card games, and I'm pretty good. Wait a minute, where's Kyle at? I'm pretty good at phase 10. Don't you say a word. I'm pretty good at phase 10. And And so, until I played Kyle the other day, I don't know. I beat Pastor David 3 times while he was on our vacation. But anyway, so I'm pretty good at that game. But we look at our lives like this. We look at our lives that we have been dealt a hand. And so it depends on, and I just learned today, that every card game doesn't have the same sequence of power, all right? That, like I would think, but every card game has a different sequence of power and rules of engagement and all that kind of things, okay? So my favorite game is Phase 10 card game, because you have all these phases that you're supposed to get. You have 10 different phases that you're supposed to get, and if you get whoever gets those 10 phases first, they're the winner. So I just love that one, okay? Now, I just love that one. And I see, when I do something, remember, I'm not doing anything just off. I'm trying to say something with what I do, okay? Because that's how we are about life. We want to hurry up and get through our phases. And if I get through my phases really fast, I'm the winner. And so we'll look, and it's kind of like a real calculating game, you know, and you want to get through to your next phase before the next person gets to the, and you want to skip, and you don't care about the next person, skip, you hit that skip down, bam, and that means that, you know, that gives me a chance to get ahead of you. And so a lot of times, this is the way of the world, but it comes in the way in the church, where we want to get ahead, and we don't care if you have to skip over somebody. We don't care if we stop them, but our thing is because we want to win. So we think about life as winning. We think about life as beating somebody, okay? And so God really wanted to show me something. So that's my favorite, is Phase 10. But what I learned about today is that this shows the first hand, the spades. So Spades. You can tell Jessica doesn't play cards too much, but anyway, that's okay. Yes, baby, that's this one. Okay. So, wait a minute. I think I did it wrong yet. But I just wanted Jessica to look really like I showed her what to do, so instead of messing her up. Okay, there you go, Jessica. There's only one missing. Okay. So, I didn't know this, but anyway, hold it up. Okay, in Kyle, in spades, the deuce is the good one. Okay, there we go. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't in clubs. Okay, so in this hand, somebody, I just love this hand. Oh, my God. They said, I want to play. I'm going to win. Woo! That hand, you get dealt that hand, you're just like, I know I'm a winner. I know you're going down today. Look at that. You got all them high, I just missed the ace, you guys, but you got all them books. It means you are going to win. If you get this one, you're excited. And so if you had this hand and somebody was walking by, you know, like, you know how some of those cheaters do? And so sometimes they're walking by, you know, kind of acting like they're not looking at your cards, but they are looking at your cards. If somebody looked at that hand, and what would they probably do? I ain't got a chance. Would this be a good word for card? They just fold? Not in that game. Well, they go kneel. That means zero, right? No, not even going to try. So y'all gonna learn some things today, y'all. Not yet, baby. Not yet. So when they got that card, a lot of times in life, that's the reality. We look at people's lives, and it's like they got that hand, and it's like, of course you're gonna win, of course you're gonna be happy, of course you're gonna get over. Look at that hand you've been dealt. You've been dealt money. You've been dealt that nice man, that car, that intelligence. You've been given everything in life. There's just no way you can lose. And we look at that hand, and we're like, see? There's no hope for me. But if I had it, why, God, why are you so unfair? Why did you give them all of that? And you didn't give me anything. Now show the other hand. With that hand, okay? Now look at this hand. So if you got that hand and you were walking by and they had that hand, it would be a laughing matter. You're playing spades. And you know all these ones over here are going to take all of these ones over here. That you have nothing. That's how you feel like you have nothing. So over here you have the money, the car, the house, the intelligence. You have, you know, health. You have strength. Over here, good, both parents, that your parents were good, your everything. It looks like, I want y'all to know, but everything looks like it was good. And over here, there's been the dad's gone. This adultery. No money. Health is bad. And you think to yourself as you begin, we begin to look. And I'm ashamed to say this. I'm really quiet. I'm ashamed to say this, but there's been times I've had these kind of cards with Pastor David, and I just threw them. I said, I don't want to play no more. This is not fair. I don't want to play you no more. And I don't know, you must have hit when you dealt them cards. Why did I get such a bad hand and you got, come on, let's think about it in the reality. So I just want to throw it, and I want to walk away. And I'm not playing again until you deal me a hand that looks like that. But the thing is that sometimes I play a really long time before, and I have to throw the cards a lot before I get this hand, that hand. I keep ending up with this hand. And throwing it away, it doesn't teach me anything. This hand teaches me about the greatness of God. This hand teaches me, this hand says, I can do it. Got it. Easy as pie, you're going down. This hand says, if somebody don't help me, I am not going to be able to do anything. I'm not going to be do anything with this. Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. That's what this hand says. That there's nothing that I see in it that's going to help get me over. But then the Lord showed me something that's because we look at our lives like a card game. Like a game that has been by man. But our life has been dealt by God. He knew who we was going to be born to. He knew the families we was going to be born in. He knew all about, some of us don't like that, but he knew all about it. And he knew that this was our hand. But if we were playing the game with God, there would be a trump card that would trump it all. The G card. The God card that would trump all of that. That if we, right here, we look lost. We look like, I don't have anything. And God said, oh, yes. And I just kind of could see that, you know, like you're playing cards and here comes this card from under the table. And it just makes everything have to fall down. Well, that's what God is saying. This is the card. This is the God card. We have a God card in our life. And God said, I'm going to let Jessica sit down so I can go head on. That was, y'all got it from there, right? Okay. God said that we're walking around and we're like, I can't do, I can't be, I can't become, because I've been dealt this bad hand and all my life. All my life. I like doing that. That reminds me of something I saw on TV. Okay. All my life. All my life, I've been dealt bad cards. All my life, I've been on the bottom. All my life, it just seems like nobody will give me anything. Can I just get a handout? Can I just get a hand up? Can I just get a hand over, please? Can I just come out on top? God's saying, because there's something that we don't know. And there's something that we don't realize. Now, you know, when you see that good hand, and our problem is that when we see the good hand, we always think that hand was good. That dealt hand was so good. You know, movie stars and actresses went, oh, God, if I could just be that, if I could just go out there and sing and make money and be popular and everybody's going to know me. And it looks so good. Have y'all watched things that look so good? I mean, they're up there. They got the cutest clothes on. They got that mic in their hand. They got thousands of people going, hoorah, ooh, ooh, yeah, you the greatest. And that's for our flesh. That is just like, I need that. That will affirm me. That will make me. That will take me over. That will put me on top. Everyone looking at me. Everyone's, you know, just loving what I'm doing. But you guys, look a little closer. You know, the enemy always makes things look so fantastic. But we, summer, winter, spring, all the seasons come to us all.
Come on.
The man with the good hand and the man with the bad hand. So, winter comes to everyone. And if you don't have the Lord, I don't care how popular you are. I don't care how beautiful you sing. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many fan club people are. If you don't have Jesus, it's short-lived. And the funniest thing is that, well, it's not really funny. I don't want to say funny. The saddest thing is that people that you see at the top today, that you're just, can be at the bottom tomorrow. People that have billions of dollars have died with nothing. Have died with nothing. Not even a sad part is they died with nothing and nobody there when they die. Nobody there. No loved one. Nobody there. They die with nothing and lonely. But it looks so great and it looks so good, but they try to operate in what cards that look so great, and they thought that was their strength. But without the G card, the God card is short-lived. Let's go to this, go to 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7. The topic of this one is treasure within. And I want us to begin to look at ourselves beyond this, outside. Right. Our circumstances and what we have in our pocket or don't have in our pocket. I want us to look and see that we are valuable. We are valuable. You know, sometimes I think about, yesterday, Priscilla Shire kind of alluded to it, is that we here have more than so many countries. The poorest of person here can still eat.
Oh, yeah.
The poorest of person can still eat. There are so many things set up in this country to feed people, to clothe people, to house people in this country. And yet, we can be one of the most unthankful of what we don't have. And I think to myself that on every level in the land, there is somebody that's looking up at somebody. Like I'm saying, there's somebody that wishes they had a tent. Someone's not looking at a mansion, you guys. They're just looking at a tent. And they're saying, man, if I just had a tent to put along the highway to shelter my family. And they're just like, I wish I had a tent. Somebody that's in the tent is looking and saying, man, I take that one bedroom apartment over in Slumsville. All I need is something to shelter my family. And it looks really rich to them. And then somebody else is like, man, I will take that three bedroom, you know, shack. It's not a mansion yet. It's just fix-upper. I take that three-bedroom fix-upper. Oh, man, that would be great. And then somebody else is looking. I mean, we're all looking. We're all looking for the next level. So then it's like that person is like, man, and they rode down the street and they saw that beautiful three-bedroom house that just got built. Oh, man, if I had that, that would be great. And then the one that's got in the three-bedroom, they're looking over the hill at the mansion that sits on. And they're like, when we get there. Then the people that get in the mansions, they start thinking, you know what? Old Carver is kind of old, you know? And I just like to swing on over to the island and buy me an island condo. And then I, see what I'm saying? It's never enough. We're always looking. But you would really be surprised at the less we have, the more our hearts can turn toward God. The more we have, the more we are surrounded by things and people and houses and lands. We are encumbered with the care of it. We are encumbered in making that place look like the bomb. We get the big house. Now we need everything to go in the big house. You don't take the old chairs to the big house. You got to go and you got to buy you a nice chase. And you got to get that bomb picture that takes up the whole wall. Because we're encumbered with so many things that we forget that Jesus is the main thing. That the man in the tent could be happier than you in your house. The man in the hut could be extremely more ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords than some of us in our houses. Today, God wants us to know something. That it's about him. It is not this outside stuff. Christians, it's not this outside stuff. That's not what makes us great. Because remember this. If that's what makes us great, we're going to be striving till the day we die. If the outside stuff, the outside appearance, the outside possessions is what makes us great, we will be striving and discontent and unhappy and not powerful until the day that we die. There's somebody, believe it or not, you guys, ladies, there is somebody so much more beautiful than you. Praise God. Every day, a new beauty is born. Amen. Every day. Men, believe it or not, there's somebody more handsome, more buff, more swag. Every day, a new one's born. So if this is my life, this is my life, and this is who I think I am, is all, demonstrated in my beauty and in my intent. Believe it or not, no matter what you've got, a doctorate, no matter what you got, somebody smarter than you. I just want us to accept that this morning. In our very core, that these cannot be the things that we depend upon. No matter how much I have, no matter how good it looks, no matter how I make it look, I don't care what car you get. Come on. Isn't it funny? You can get a car and it can be, ooh, that's Obama's car. I got the bomb. And then turn on the TV. All you got to do is turn the TV on. And you turn the TV on and there's another car they just bought out. And you're like, wait. I think I want that. Right? It does something better. It does something more. It goes faster. The inside is better. It's got all the wheels and thank you for knowing what I was going to say. Bells and whistles. It got all that. And it makes us what? I want that. And whoever has that, now they become big dog on the block. I say things that come to my head sometimes. Okay. So maybe I should ask Jesus. But did I? You want me to say that? Big dog on the block. In this one right here, it says this. In 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7, it says this. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. Remember, it's not about me that I'm trying to proclaim. It's not me and my goodness and my greatness and what I have. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We are proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. It started when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you would only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. In the Amplified, it says, however, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. Here he's talking about us. And he says we have a treasure in these earthen pots. you know how in this day and time I'm an earthen pot. We want to be described as something pure. Grandiose. We want to be described as something that, look at me. But Paul uses an analogy of clay pots. Understanding it at that time, clay pots were they were common. There was a common use for them. That you put water, you used it to put things in. And I really want you to understand that, but let's stay on that point for a minute, that they had an opening that you could put things in, okay? So it was not necessary the pot that was so important, but when I needed to put something in something, it was what I was putting in it, okay? What I was putting in it, and I think about, a diamond ring and you get a box from your husband, and the box can be ever so beautiful, and it can be tied up in such a beautiful ribbon. But the thing would be, wouldn't it be kind of strange that if you open the box, and here's the diamond, and your husband's just waiting for you to go, oh, thank you for the diamond. You're looking at the box and say, this is the most precious looking box I ever see. Oh, I'm going to keep this box forever. Oh, it's so beautiful, this box. And you just walk away from the ring, and you just walk around, and you go, this box. And when everybody says, what did you get from your husband? This box. This box is amazing. Can't you see? People will be going, what? This box is, you don't see how pretty. And they probably say, yeah, it's pretty, but what was in it? What was in the box? That's all your husband gave you was a box? What was in the box? But you're like, the box! I love the box! Well, that's what God is saying, that sometimes we are so enamored with this. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. My girls don't like for me to do this, but anyway, I get it from, okay. I probably don't look as cute as my girls. My girls look cute. But we're so enamored with this box. We are so enamored with this box that's going to decay. It's going to die. Every day this box is dying, you guys. I don't care how much makeup I put on it. I don't care what wig I put on it. I don't care what I do to this body. It's dying every day. And I just want to give you a hint, and my mama might give you a greater one, that the older you get, you realize that no matter how cute you try to be, this body is decaying.
Amen. Amen.
You will not be able to keep this thing alive and pretty for 200 years.
Right.
You won't. So there's got to be something more intrinsic value to us than this outside thing that we work on, that we're ashamed for people to see us with our hair not whipped, and we're ashamed for people to see our makeup on wrong, and we're ashamed if our eyebrows ain't right. We're ashamed. We just can't be like, hey, this is me. I remember my daughter when she, I'm telling you this time. I remember my daughter. And when, at a time where I felt like, you know, there is a young guy that liked her, and I can't even remember his name, but it can, maybe for, that's right, I thought that. That was God right there. Okay, so he was coming over to see her, and my daughter, I'm like, Monica, aren't you going to do something to your hair? Aren't you going to fix yourself up? Monica's open the door. Hair looking crazy. Monica's open, and her thing was, if he don't like me like this, he ain't gonna like, because this is me. This is real me. And I always go back to that when I'm kind of feeling crazy about how I'm looking. If you don't like me like this, it's me. Wig on, wig off. It's me. Okay? Because there's something greater to me than my hair. There's something greater to me than my face. There's something greater about me than these clothes that we spend all this time trying to decorate this box so that somebody will go, ooh, I love the box. I love the box. And the problem is with Christians is that we present well. So everybody's like, I love that box. Oh my God, that girl can sing. Oh my God, that girl, she knows how. Praise the Lord, how you doing? And we present so well. And sometimes the box really looks better than the contents. Because we've worked on the box. We know how to present this box. We can be mad as all get out, ladies. Mad! Phone rang. What did you do that for? I don't know why you did that. Hello, praise the Lord. Hi. How you doing? What? Now look at it. What? Yes. Here, look. I'm telling you about this beautiful box. Yes. What you say? What you need? You need me to come pick you up? We're looking at our husband. Okay. You said in 20 minutes? Okay. I'll be there in 20 minutes. Okay. Bye. See, I'm acting like I have one of those old, you can tell I'm still kind of old. I'm acting like it's a home phone when it should be a, okay. So we get off the phone and we're like, I can't even believe it. Babe, she's going to call me, telling me to be there 20 minutes. What do they think I am? The taxi cab or something? Then we get in our little car. We're fussing all the way down to where we got to go. We're riding. And then we see her. Hey! Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We done it. We do it. But the box then becomes way prettier. But that's not how God meant it to be. God did not mean for this box to be prettier than the contents. even for the contents to be genuine, the contents to reflect his glory, the contents to speak of his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his love. Paul here says we're clay pots. And he says, but we have a treasure. And I think that because we don't realize we have a treasure. We have a treasure, you guys. We got a treasure. Hallelujah. That's on the inside. And because we don't realize that there's a treasure on the inside, we're so busy trying to fix this outside. Amen. That if we really found the treasure on the inside, it would fix everything on the outside. It would fix everything. You said, well, will it make me look prettier? No, it'll make you accept you. There's our problem. Yeah. Is that we don't accept ourselves because we don't realize that there's a treasure. And God has found each one of us. And he's placed a treasure in us. The word treasure comes from a Greek word that means a deposit. God has made a deposit. And it says that is wealth. Treasure means wealth. You guys, we are wealthy. Somebody says, I'm not rich. I'm not rich. You're rich. Your richness of Christ trumps all other richness. You know, there's been time I didn't have a dime in my pocket, but the Holy Spirit has put something on somebody's mind, and the thing that I wanted, they bought to me. I didn't even have to have the cash. But the Holy Spirit is just moving and working and bought it right to me. I didn't pay a dime for it. But the Holy Spirit bought it to me. Do you understand? There's something in us that's greater than this outside. There is a marked, a treasure points to something of tremendous value or worth. We have tremendous value, guys. Tremendous. I want you to turn to somebody and say, you have tremendous value. And it's more valuable than the cost of our weave. Now, somebody said, I ain't got no weave on. And it's more valuable than the necklace you wear. It's more valuable than the spa. It's more valuable than the things that we do to make this outside beautiful. We're going to be real this morning, because a lot of times that we think our value comes from that. And if we don't have no money to get our hair done, our nails done, then we think, oh, I'm so ugly. I look so terrible. Oh, my God, there's something more valuable to us than that. There's a marked difference between the container and the contents. Usually, the contents are far superior to the container. Let's remember that. Usually, you get a bag lunch, you're not going to eat the bag. You're going to eat the lunch, because the lunch is going to taste better than the brown paper bag. But sometimes that's what we do about word. We have the word, but we look at the word, but we never open it to eat the word. We're just proud to have our crosses on, our Bibles on our case. We're proud of the outside show of religion, but not the inside know of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So he likens us to clay pots. And this is because this is a humbling lesson. Because God doesn't care what he wants us to know. He likens all of us to clay pots. It's not like you're a beautiful ornament pot. And you're a clay pot. And you're, all different kind of pots. Can anybody throw it out? Some pots. What kind of pots? Crab pot. Teapot. Ornament creep. Teapot. It's not like God, he says, you're the teapot, you're the crab pot, you're the decorative pot. He said, we all are clay pots. And it's a humbling thing for us to realize that I don't care what we think of ourselves, we need the Lord. Amen. I don't care how pretty we think we are, how great we think we are, how rich we think we are. What he's saying is, you're all clay pots. And you all need the Lord. And I don't care how much great we think we are. It's the only thing that God is saying, you need me. And I don't care how pretty your pot is. You still need me. And you need me to fill you up. Because you're not going to get by just on being a pretty pot. You need something on the inside that's going to give you power. The power is in the message, not the clay jar. We live in this self-absorbed outer beauty world, and this is why he gives us the analogy of this clay pot. Paul does not say that he is a unique work of art worthy of the highest value. No, he says he's a clay jar among many clay jars, carrying the treasure of the gospel. That's what the treasure is within us. We are clay jars so we would not steal the glory from God. If we were anything else, we're already trying to steal God's glory all the time. But God wanted us to bring glory to him. A lot of times we don't like to embrace our weaknesses because we just want to show our strength. We almost hate our weaknesses. And if no one says amen, I'll say amen for Linda, because there's this time I hate my weaknesses. I want to be portrayed as strong. I wish I didn't fumble over my words. I wish, do you see what I'm saying? I want to be, but when I do that, it's like a perfection that I want to be without God, that I'm not, I'm displaying Linda. And as much, God told me, Linda, as much as you want every one of your weaknesses to be gone, that wouldn't work. Because he said, in my weakness, I'm made strong. Not in my strengths, but in my weakness is where I really reveal the glory of God. Because some of y'all probably saying, I know it got to be Jesus having that girl up there mixing up all them words and stuff. I know it got to be Jesus working through her. And I know it got to be Jesus working through me myself. It reveals the glory of God. That I am nothing but a pot. That God is filling me up to pour out. And I have to accept that, because the day I get up here and think, I did one time try to preach. I had heard T.D. Jakes and how he talked. And I really said, you know what? I'm going to dictate diction and tell stories. And I'm going to put that end on my word so I can sound really smart. God said, be yourself, girl. Be yourself. Let me work through you. Let me work through you. Come on, you guys, let's stop. Let's allow our weaknesses, okay? Our weaknesses are so that the power of God can be visible in our lives. Think about how God's power is on its greatest display when it transforms a weak, selfish, fragile, broken person into a God-loving, Christ-believing, standing in the strength that God supplies, Christian. Think about when you see somebody and you say, I know that's the anointing of the Lord. I know that's, even yourself, have you ever been talking to somebody and you witness to them and afterwards you go, whoa, I know, oh, Sam's making me laugh, whoa, I know that wasn't me. Has anybody ever had that? I know that was me. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to me, but that was the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants to work through us, but we have a treasure within, and we got to realize that it is not about our outside strength. In 1 Corinthians, I want to read this. Our message within us is God's wisdom. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are head. 1 Corinthians 1:18, did I get it up? Okay. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scripture said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world to look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. All we know compared to God is nothing. God's wisdom. So Paul is saying the treasure that he's talking about is not an object, it's not a ring, it's not a pearl, but it is knowledge. That is the treasure. That's why in that verse he said it started when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives would fill with light as we truly saw and understand God in the face of Christ. It is the knowledge that gives revelation of the character and the presence of God. This knowledge allows us to recognize the importance of Jesus in our lives. And this is why this is the treasure that's within us. When Christ comes in, he gives us the knowledge that he's our Savior. He is our remedy to the sin that so easily besets us. He is the way, the truth, the life. And that he has conquered sin and death. That through him we no longer have these things overpowering us. We have been set free. That knowledge, that treasure, helps us to be able to walk boldly, helps us to be able to walk with our head up high. Growth is dependent, and I'm about to end, you guys. Growth is dependent on our knowing Christ as our life, and that Christ is in us the hope of glory. That's the treasure. Christ in us, the hope of glory. When everything outside of us is hopeless, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He gives us the power to go on, to stand strong, to not throw away the cards, to not walk away and say, I don't want to play anymore. He gives us the power. I want to read this story. In his book, The Disappointment with God, one of my favorite authors is Philip Yancey. And in his book called Disappointed with God, he writes this powerful metaphor for the church. And he says, I have a bright, talented, and very funny friend in Seattle named Carolyn Martin. But Carolyn has cerebral palsy. And it is the peculiar tragedy of her condition that its outward signs, drooling, floppy arm movements, inarticulate speech, a bobbing head, caused people to look at her and have even called her retarded. Actually, her mind is the one part of her that works perfectly. It is muscular control that she lacks. Everyone on campus knew Carolyn as the disabled person. They would see her sitting in a wheelchair, hunched over, painstakingly typing out notes on a device called a Canon communicator. Few felt comfortable talking with her. They could not follow her jumbled sounds. But Carolyn persevered, stretching out a 2-year Associate of Arts degree program over 7 years. Next, she enrolled in a Lutheran college to study the Bible. After 2 years there, she was asked to speak to her fellow students in the chapel. Carolyn worked many hours on her address. She typed out the final draft at her average speed of 45 minutes a page and asked her friend Hosey to read it for her. Hosey had a strong, clear voice. On the day of the chapel service, Carolyn sat slumped in her wheelchair on the left side of the platform. At times, her arms jerked uncontrollably. Her head lolled to one side so that it almost touched her shoulder, and a stream of saliva sometimes ran down her blouse. Beside her sin stood Hosey, who began to read the mature and graceful prose Carolyn had composed, centered around this Bible verse. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, but not from us. For the first time, some students saw Carolyn as a complete human being, like themselves. Before then, her mind, a very good mind, had always been inhibited by a disobedient body, and difficulties with speech had masked her real intelligence. But hearing her address read aloud, as they looked at her on stage, the students could see past the body in a wheelchair and imagine a whole person. This blessed me so much. Guess what does that have to do with us? We too have these places in our lives that when people first looked at us, they didn't know how we was going to make it. They didn't know how we was going to come out. The lives that we were living, it portrayed something so, sometimes we were so ornery and so nasty and so just out of God's will that when people, come on, I mean, you're feeling pretty good about yourself today, but let's travel back to that place where the Holy Ghost met us and where Jesus's grace met us, and we knew that we needed it, and we knew that people today, they look at us and because of what God has done in us. Somebody says, don't call me retarded. Don't call me. We were disabled. Without Christ in our life, we were disabled. We had a big disability, and it was showing up strong. But because Christ has came in, and he's brought the revelation of the power of the Holy Ghost, the resurrection power that raises us up from dead places. Now people look at us, and they see a whole person. Sometimes when you're telling your testimony, people say, what? I don't believe that. I don't even see that on you. What? You went through what? You and Pastor David went through what? You left the kids? What? I don't see that. That's because, not because of me. That's because in this jar has been given a treasure. And that treasure teaches me. And that treasure forgives me. And that treasure is the lifter up of my head. And that treasure says, go, daughter, on down the road. You may have made some mistakes back there. You may have committed some sin back there. But if you would allow what I poured in you to transform you, thank you, you will be a different person. Things I've done in my life, it would seem that I would walk around, and if I but travel too far back, the enemy would try to put my head down, bring tears to my eyes, and make me wonder, how could you be used by God? I can imagine at the moment that the angels are looking and saying, what is man that you are mindful of them? These people that are like creeps, they do creepy things. They do things against you. They don't care about you. They sin and they sin and they, what is man that you are mindful? And Jesus has said, because I know if they would just open up their jar, I will put a treasure in them. And he's telling the angels, just watch. Just watch when I pour my spirit into that clay jar. I will transform what you think is crazy, what you think could never be anything. I will transform them into my image. Just you wait and see. This morning as we stand, you are valuable.